All right. Good evening. It's good to see everybody out this evening. I'm so glad that you were able to come out and join us. Before I begin, I just want to say thank you to everyone. I've received cards, calls, plenty of food, plenty of soup. I think I've had every type of soup that you could possibly have, and I'm so grateful for that. Thank you all so much. So just want to tell you thank you. And they're coming around, so just continue to pray for them. With that being said, before we begin, just to clear our hearts and mind, Matt, you mind doing a prayer for us? Thank you. Amen. Thank you for that, brother. All right, we are in Acts chapter 5, the lie of Ananias and Sapphira. And that's Acts chapter 5. So I'll begin reading with verses 1 through 6. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourselves a part of the proceeds of the land while it remained unsold? Did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man but God. And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last breath. And a great fear came among all who heard of it. The young men rose, wrapped him up, and carried him out and buried him. So prior to this, if you're looking at Acts chapter 4, towards the end of Acts chapter 4, does anybody know what was taking place beginning in 37, but it starts in 36. Do you all know what took place? I'm sorry? Okay. Right? Okay, so what did Barnabas do? He gave some money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Right? So here's, I know that we've talked about how man breaks it up. But the interesting thing is, it says, sold the field that belonged to him, verse 37, brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And then it begins in chapter 5 with but. Right? So it's a continuation. And so looking at this, you would ask yourself, why would Ananias and Sapphira come up with this in the first place? What? I'm sorry? To look good. Right. So this initially started based on what they saw Barnabas do. So from the beginning, this wasn't from the heart. It started in the wrong place from the beginning. So that led to everything else that happened because they were more or less concerned with how they looked to man opposed to how they should look in the eyes of God. All right? It goes on to say that he kept back part of the proceeds. So they sold their possessions and they gave only a portion to the church while implying that they sacrificially gave it all to the church. Now, in the ancient Greek word for kept back is nophizome. Nophizome. And what it means is to misappropriate. It's the same word that was used of Achan when he stole in the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Joshua chapter 7 and verse 21. All right. And so this nophizome is used in the New Testament, and it also means to steal. And that's referenced in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. All right. And so and in some translations, it's not kept back. Some says pilfering. All right. And what that means is stealing or is to keep something back and not but not showing the faith that they need to have with it. OK. So the story of Ananias in the book of Acts is what the story was of Achan in the book of Joshua. It was the same premise, the same mindset. And in both narratives, as an act of deceit, right? What does an act of deceit do, right, to the progress of the people of God? Think about if one of the elders of the church was stealing money. And this whole time we think everything is okay. And then when we find out about it, how does that affect the progression of what we have been doing all along? The mission, the goal, the focus, what we ought to be doing, does that not affect the progression of what needs to be happening and going on in God's kingdom? Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and knowing this, it goes on to say that his wife was also aware of this, right? He says, "Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart?" And clearly, both husband and wife were partners in this deception. So they both wanted the image of great generosity, that we've done this great deed. Look what we have done. We're all about the mission. We're all about the goal. We're all about our Father's business, is what they wanted to look like. We're all in. We are servants of the Lord. And all along, they were doing this without actually being generous. Like, when you think about it, they did all this to look generous, but they weren't actually being generous, because that wasn't what it was for. The other thing that I would like to say about this is that it's important that as spouses, right, the lesson that can be learned in this, that you don't always go along with what your spouse say, especially if it goes against the will of God. And that's a great lesson to be learned, because as a matter of fact, for the first time in all of my marriage with DeKenna, she apologized to me today. You know what she said? She said, "I'm sorry I married you." Just joking. It's just a joke. Just want to make sure y'all awake. Just want to make sure y'all awake. But there is a lesson in that, knowing that we have to go with the word of God, even when it goes against the grain of those that we love and we keep in high regard or respect, right? So Peter confronts Ananias, right? And he says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? Have you not lied to men, but to God?" Now, one of the wonderful things that I love about this, when we can use this as a teachable moment or a way for you to spread the gospel with an individual who does not believe in the Trinity. Because it says here, "Have you not lied to man, but to God?" But who are we talking about? The who? Say it loud now. Say it like you know it. The Holy Spirit. That lets us know that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity because the Holy Spirit is God. That's why he said that very thing. You have not lied to man. You have not lied to man, but to God. And I think that that's a wonderful teachable lesson for us when we can show how the Trinity is and that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Holy Trinity and is a person, because you can't lie to something that ain't there. That's a person. It's because you can't. So he says you lied to the Holy Spirit. And in fact, you didn't lie to man, but you lied to God. And then a great fear. And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last breath. Now, I don't know about you, but it is very clear that God gave Peter some supernatural knowledge. Oh, go ahead, brother. Yeah, I was gonna get into that, but go ahead. No, go ahead. I want you to just give your point, but yeah.
We see what God thinks of that.
Right.
It cost him his life.
It did.
And so, often when we're talking about people, think about this stratification of sin and how there are sins that are worse than others. You often see this little lie. It wasn't gonna hurt anybody. This is a great example to show what a little lie can cause. A lie is a lie. It costs people to be sold.
It will. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, here they go. I love it. Who's? All right, boom, 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 boom. We're going to go like this. All right, y'all getting ahead of me, but that's cool. That's cool. That you are absolutely correct. You are absolutely correct. But that's good. They did not have to lie. And I'm gonna get into that. I have another teachable thing that I want to use for that.
That's what I was gonna say. The amount of money, I just want to be right too.
Yeah, you're gonna be right.
The amount of money wasn't the same.
Right.
It was their best representation.
Right, absolutely. Right. So, I got you. So, I was going to get into that, and what I was going to actually say is how many times, and I'm sure we all are guilty of this, and if it's not, it's just me, and that's fine. Have you ever lied when you didn't have to? Anybody? Two? Okay. Me and three? Four? Okay. My point is, someone comes to you and say, hey, Chris, man, you going to go over to the Bible study? And I go, nah, man, I ain't going to go into the Bible study. I ain't going to be able to make it because, you know, I got this. And then it starts. First of all he asked you was, where are you going? And that's a yes or no question. And whether your intent is to be, if you don't want to go, you don't want to hang around people, you don't have to say any of that. All you can simply say is, I'm not going to be there. There have been so many times, especially growing up young, where somebody asked you something and you didn't have to do any of that. All you had to do was just say what it was. We sold what we had and our intention is to give. Or don't say anything else. Tell what you have and don't say nothing. But the intention was, like you said, was to be looked upon as somebody who was about the business. And they cared more about what it looked like than what the intentions of the heart should be. And so I appreciate that. So they were simply seeking the praises of man, but being rejected by God. Now, how crazy is that? We go out of our way to get praises from men, but in the same token, we are being rejected or separating ourselves from God. Absolutely. And I'm going to talk about that too. I am. I really am. Go ahead, brother. Right.
And that took my whole Saturday.
Right.
And it took you a couple hours.
Right.
You say, to God be the glory.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, you minimize.
Right.
I mean, don't make more of your sacrifice.
Right.
Than what it is. Certainly don't make more of it. But if anything, our response should be, I've been bought with blood.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Let me ask you this question. What did Peter accuse Ananias of doing? He didn't say you lied to me? He didn't say you lied to the church? You lied to the apostles? So in all honesty, when we lie, who are we telling this lie to? Go ahead, brother. Right. And he wasn't talking about as an individual.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And Peter clearly believed that the Holy Spirit, again, was a person. Right. So, again, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own to control? Peter freely acknowledged that the land and the value belonged to Ananias alone. So he was completely free to do whatever he wanted to do with that. And yet he chose to be deceptive in it, right? And of course, we all agree that the sin was not about keeping the money. In all honesty, the sin was pride, right? Because he wanted to look good. He wanted everybody to consider him so spiritual that he gave it all. Right. He wasn't thinking about God. He knew all. He didn't think about the service of he didn't think about the progression of the church. He didn't think about how far to set people back, how much it will confuse this person or that person. That's how important it is for us to make sure that we are representing ourselves as we say that we are. Because all it takes is that one lie, that one opportunity. Oh, I thought you said you was in the church. I thought you go to church over here. Didn't you say you acting a fool at work? You let folks push your buttons, and they use that, and it's only to blaspheme against God, because they're laughing at you, but they're really talking about the spirituality aspect of it is why they don't do it in the first place. Crisis. And then trip. Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. That's good. Or maybe they could have just hushed and said nothing and gave of themselves. They could have just served in another capacity. They didn't have to say nothing about the money. They saw that, and then they didn't say to themselves, well, there's another way that I can serve. There's another way that I can contribute to the movement of God's kingdom. But no, I got to look good, so pride sets in. And nothing can corrupt the church more quickly than pride. And so when I think about this, it says, why have you conceived this thing in your heart, right? Or for some it's contrived in some translations. And what that means is to deliberately create rather than arising to that end result naturally. So you deliberately lied instead of allowing it naturally to be what it should have been in the first place. And that was your service to the people, which represented your service to God because you were doing what you were supposed to do. So I thought about that and I was just like, wow. Because you see it, you think about it, right? And then it's conceived in the heart and then it gives birth to the action of sin. So it's formed from a devised plan in the mind when you say, why have you conceived these things in your heart? And so it's just something to think about. When I saw conceived, that's what he did. He contrived this. He and his wife deliberately created this lie for no reason. And then here's the other thing that I saw. Is it, do I see your hand? Go ahead, sis. Okay. Yeah, hold on. I'm coming. Just hold on. Just hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. It's coming. It's coming. all right. So Peter, again, when this was happening and he fell down, this is something else that I thought about that I didn't really consider. Peter didn't pronounce a death sentence on Ananias. He said, oh, as a result, you're going to die. He didn't do that. He didn't. And he simply confronted him with his sin, and he fell down. And so I don't think it's the business of the church to pronounce a death sentence on anyone. Amen. Amen. But we do that from time to time. And we push people right on out the door. The same one they came in looking for help, we push them right on out because we give them a death sentence. You don't belong here. You don't do this. How can you ever? Why are you still? Why are you constantly? Why you smell like cigarettes? You know, all that. Why are you dressing like this? Maybe that's all they have. You know, but instead, I think that we need to use this as a lesson that we should be putting death sentences on people. The word would do the job all by itself. It will judge them in a way that we can't. It is non-biased. It is what it is. Either you're doing it or you're not. So Peter said no word to Ananias about his death. And the sentence was not called down upon a man as a curse of this ecclesiastical official. And he was the one that could do it, right? So the death and what's so great about this is that no one could ever say it was man. That's what's so amazing about it, that he didn't say anything, didn't do anything, and then it happened, and no one can ever say, man, Peter killed him, because Peter said, drop dead. So now we're giving the power to man. You got some? Right. Right, because I got seven, yeah. You're right.
that sentence there. He says, may your silver perish with you because you thought you could obtain the gift of God's money. And you know, the Spirit doesn't strike Simon the sorcerer in that moment. And part of me is like, well, that's not fair.
Right. Good. All right. I won't forget. Yeah. There you go. So the other thing that I thought about, and I haven't forgot you, sister. I'm going to make sure you, when we get to them, I'll let you say your piece. When this took place, right? It says, so a great fear came upon all those who heard these things. For many Christians and in compromise, what do you think the greatest fear is? Because it's definitely not sinning. What do you think the greatest fear is? That's probably big too, but in this particular context. Being found out. So we can do the sin. We just don't want nobody to know about it. You know what I'm saying? Well, I did it, yeah. But if we can just keep this under wraps, I can get through it. But the moment it becomes public, we can't handle that. I.e. is why a lot of people don't walk up here on Sunday, because they don't want it to be publicized that they're struggling or they're battling with something, because it makes me look bad. But I would like to challenge you to ask you, who do you think really is looking bad when you're supposed to be a walking billboard for the kingdom? So when I saw this, I said, wow, it's true. A lot of people struggle with being found out, because if he never got found out, it wouldn't have been a big deal. And he probably would have did it again and again and again. But the fact that it was found out was a whole different ballgame from the actual sin itself, because it was exposed. And I think there's another lesson that we can learn is that we cannot assume that there will always be an opportunity to repent. So therefore, I'm going to act the way I want to act because there's an opportunity. I can repent on Sunday. I can ask God for forgiveness after I do it. But can you think about how crazy that sounds? That I'm going to act in a way that's unpleasing to God, only to ask him for his help later. Right, and that's what I'm saying. Everybody isn't, so you can't base it on that. I can't base it that Sister Joanne came out of it unscathed and think that I can do the same thing. Go ahead, bro. That's usually the case. I'm with you. I get it all the time. Don't worry about it. You're not by yourself, sister. Yeah. That's good. Yep. Yeah. You know, I was thinking, you know, if this really had happened in today's time, right? I was thinking we would probably have the cover up committee come out, right? And cover this up, right? Don't let this get out publicly what's going on here. But here's the thing. You can take heart that when God exposes things, one of the great outcomes when God is vindicated is we gain strength again. You know what I mean? Like when the sin is aired out, when the sin in the camp is aired out and God is vindicated, we can be as strong as we always have been. But when it's in the camp and it continues to happen, it's really a big deal. And it says, so that great fear came upon those who heard these things. And I was thinking, you know, there wouldn't be many people in the church today if this was happening the way it was happening then. I mean, no, honestly. Men are in position of leadership, elders, deacons, preachers, members. If lying got you struck down, can you imagine? The church wouldn't be a lot of people. I mean when you really think about it, right? And so I just thought that this was such a great way to look at it, that the great fear came upon all of them, right? And here's the crazy thing. Sapphira means beautiful in Aramaic, and Ananias means God is gracious in Hebrew. And it may seem that their names contradict their lives, didn't it? Right? But it's just one of those things where you like Brother Keith said, that you call it a white lie or it's not that big of a deal, but God saw it to be a great deal. Right? And he goes on, 7-9, he says, you know, you all agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord. And when I thought about this, I said, that's what ends up happening. When you and yours decide to become agreed, you miss out on the fact that you should have been in agreement with God. See how I did that? Agreed. You became agreed because you agreed that greed was better than being in agreement with God. It's a little wordplay, but that's what happened. Go ahead, man. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I know how that can be sometimes, man, but you just keep on pressing on, brother. Keep on. So, Sister Roz, I want to make sure I'm going to get this because I went past it, but you're right. Verse 7, you say it was about 3 hours. 3 hours she had to think about all of this. She had time, even though she didn't know. She did not know.
Yeah.
But here's the... Right. Right. No. Here's the crazy part. This was her opportunity not to fall in the same fate as her husband, whether she knew it or not. She had an opportunity to say, you know what? Hey, this is what went down. Right? Because did he not ask her? Right? And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. No, I did not. I'm sorry. I was listening to my husband, and he told me, however she needed to do it, she had an opportunity. And I think there's a lesson for us to know that sometimes those opportunities come, but they don't come very often, and you do not and will not always have a chance to come clean. So we have to make sure that we do that. Go ahead, brother. Yeah, I said it in when he said it in here, when he addressed him as God in here. Yes, sir. Yeah, I thought I was doing something. Yeah, I told him that. So. Yeah, like the light bulb didn't. And say, why are you asking me that? Right. It is. Yeah. I have so much stuff, but I did want to say this. One of the other things that I saw in this, who came and got the bodies? Who came and got the bodies? Young men. When I was in there and I was thinking, I was like, man, that could be a great lesson. And that lesson will be called, Let the Youth See. I think it's so important when the youth is the future of the church of today and tomorrow, right? That they need to understand what church discipline looks like. They need to also understand that there are consequences for your actions. And the biggest picture of it all is that we don't take this walk lightly. When that fear fell upon them, those people started talking to themselves saying, you know what, before I even say I'm a Christian, let me make sure that I take this seriously because I saw what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. So when I think about our young people, yeah, we want to protect them and keep them, but that's a big thing. And then the other thing, since I'm going to wait till the children come because I got a lot of stuff, I'm just going to talk till they come. And the other one was, that I thought was great, was when, here's what I want to say. Even after they were struck down, right? In the New Testament, there are no other virtual instant deaths talked about in the New Testament. Everybody else got a second chance. I'm just saying. But I wanted to take that and say that if virtually no one else was struck down like that, what makes you think that that can't happen to you? What makes you think that you still have time? What makes you think that you need to continue to lie or separate yourself from the relationship that there is, right? And so when I saw that, I was like, wow, nobody else. It was only Nadab and Abihu and then Ananias and Sapphira. Here we go. Well, yeah, technically. But she had already made up in her mind whatever somebody was going to say, I'm going with my husband. He did.
He said, tell me if this actually happened.
What? It was. That was her first chance. And her last chance. Hold on, real quick. We got to. One thing, right? Towards the end, this is one of the ones that I like the best. About Gamaliel. What was crazy was, right, that he was the one that came in to help the apostles. And this is the same person who trained Paul. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he trained Paul, the same one who was persecuting Christians and killing, and now he's stepping up helping the apostles. Ain't God grand? So I just thought that that was an amazing point and some irony that that happened. I appreciate your time. Thank you all so much for listening. Y'all be blessed.